Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
So, Lord, as we look into your word today, I want to thank you for who you are. Help us to hear from you, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles and want to look on at the passage that was read, it's Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. 35 to 43. Wasn't last Sunday great? We're in the park, Stewart Park, 250, 300 people there, we figure. And it was just a good day all around. The weather cooperated. A lot of fun to see people from other churches as well. And it was just a good day all around. So, but I'm happy to be back with you and get to speak to you. Got good news about a week ago or so. My heart procedure is scheduled for July 22nd, and so, yeah, you know. So I go into the Heart Institute, and it's day surgery, and they say I'll be down for a week and a bit, so we're going to have somebody come in and speak for the Sunday after that, but if you're praying, I'd appreciate you pray for that. The odds of success are 90%, and so I'm praying that I'm falling in that 90%, and I would appreciate if you would pray that as well. Well, Mark chapter 5, we're continuing our series on the book of Mark, and we've been doing the summer tour through the book of Mark. We've seen Jesus' authority, his authority over sickness and the demonic and the storms and sin and Sabbath. Today, we're going to see his authority over death. You heard the story read, but let me remind you of it. Jairus was the head of the synagogue. Be kind of like Kevin Wills, who is the chair of our board here at Asbury. Jairus was the father of a 12-year-old girl and the husband of this girl's mother. And those were the roles that really counted to him. Jesus had just crossed over the Sea of Galilee again, and Jairus had heard that he was in the area, and he had to travel some distance to get to Jesus, but he finally caught up with him, and when he got to Jesus, Jairus knelt at Jesus' feet, and this is what verse 23 records. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little girl is dying. Please come put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed and pressed around him. So Jairus pleads to Jesus and says, "Please come and heal my daughter," and Jesus agrees. Well, there's a large crowd surrounding and following Jesus, and as he set off towards Jairus' house, Gospel of Mark goes on to tell us another story about how, you know, the crowd were pressing upon him, and there was somebody who touched Jesus, and he felt healing power go out of him, and he discovered that, it was this woman who touched him, and that she had had trouble with her menstrual cycle, and she'd spent all her money on doctors, and he goes on to say this about the woman. He says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, be freed from your suffering." He talks about her faith. Faith did something there. Well, it's not often in Scripture that a story gets split up. You have to figure that Mark did this for a specific reason. The woman believes that Jesus can heal her. She acts on that belief. She gets close to him and touches his robe, and Jesus affirmed that she's healed because of her faith. Now we get back to the story of Jairus. So while Jesus is still speaking to the woman, Jairus received bad news, verse 35. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" You need to understand Jairus' perspective. His little girl, he loved his little girl, was on the brink of death when he set out to find Jesus. He was able to secure Jesus' help and his commitment to help But Jesus was taking his time getting to Jairus' house. The crowd was slowing him up. Doing other miracles was slowing him up. And I can just see Jairus quivering. We got to get there. We got to get there. She's not well. And now someone from his household, probably a head servant or something like that, comes towards him. And he can tell by the look on his face that things haven't gone well. He could probably guess what was wrong. The servant told him the news that no father wants to get. Your little girl has died. And then the person in Jairus' household stated the obvious. You know, don't bother Jesus anymore. What's the point? Verse 38, or 36. Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. Sometimes we think that the opposite of faith is doubt. But faith is multifaceted. Here, the opposite of faith is fear. I find this fascinating because Jesus could have said, you know, don't be sad, just believe. He could have said, don't worry, just believe. But Jesus, knowing the faith point in Jairus' heart, and probably many of ours, is he said, don't be afraid, just believe. And like so many other people who have had loved ones must have been thinking, Jairus is thinking, what will I do without my little girl? He may have been thinking, I don't know how I go on without my little girl. He may have thought, I don't know if my wife will make it with the loss of our little girl. And Jesus, knowing what was going on in his heart, said, don't be afraid, just believe. Faith in the face of fear is one of the most underrated spiritual benefits of following Jesus. If you are able to trust God in the face of fear, life becomes more peaceful, more joyful, because you can start to see the hand of God move. I believe this may be one of the most important spiritual disciplines to acquire in our world right now. You see, if you have faith in the face of fear, then you can face the unknown with grace. You can say, I don't know what's going to happen, but I can trust God to get us through whatever happens. We live in a time of economic uncertainty from so many people. The fear is, I won't have enough. There's a fear that comes with that, but if you can have faith in the face of fear and know that God is with you in the middle of the uncertainty, faith says, I can believe God's got this. Whatever unpleasantness you are afraid of in the future, I want you to know that God's got it. Because God is always, always, always good. You and He will be able to handle what comes your way as long as you keep your hand in His. The words of Jesus to Jairus are also words of Jesus to you. Don't be afraid, just believe. I'd encourage you to memorize those five words. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Remind yourself in the wee hours of the morning when your mind is spinning on whatever the thing that's bringing you anxiety. Don't be afraid. Just believe. remind yourself when you hear of uncertainty in the news, around you, around your kids and your friends. Don't be afraid, just believe. When Jesus spoke these words to Jairus, he dismissed the crowd. Verse 37. There are some you can move that slide back again. Sorry, I've got the wrong one there. Peter, James, and John went with him. He dismisses the crowd, and he says to them, come with me. And only five people were walking down the road. You have Jesus, Peter, James, and John, and Jairus. I don't know why Jesus called Peter, James, and John to do this. It was a little bit, I think he wanted them to witness the power of God. I've noticed that sometimes when God wants to work in our lives, that he surrounds us with just a few witnesses that walk with us into the middle of grace and mercy. It might be a few close friends. It might be a very small group. I've had the privilege of walking with people as they witness God's power. But if God calls you to go along with him and walk with somebody else towards doing what God wants to do, it's a privilege to do that. Journey with them. So Peter, James, and John, they knew that Jairus' daughter had died. And now they're walking with Jairus. What do you say? Sometimes there's nothing good to say. Sometimes the only thing you can do is be present in the middle of this grief. Often there are no good words. But if Jesus calls you to walk, like Peter, James, and John, you walk. Well, verse 38, when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. The word commotion there is could be translated loud and noisy confusion. People were crying and they were wailing. And there was the Mishnah, which was an Old Testament commentary. It was completed in about 200 years after Jesus died. There was a rabbi, Judah, that said that for a burial, even the poorest in Israel should hire not less than two flutes and one wailing woman. So, you know, you hired out the wailing and the shouting and the tears and the crying. Clamor and confusion. That is what Jesus and his disciples walked into. With this man who was grieving, with the mother who was obviously grieving, they met there. There was real grief happening in the household. And then there were the professional grievers. When you go through hard times, you will find that there are people who share your sorrow and people who just say nice words. Jesus comes into the middle of this, and verse 39, he says, he went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead but asleep. But they laughed at him. They laughed at him. They laughed at Jesus. After all, he'd arrived, and everybody knows that, well, death is death. There are a lot of people who laugh at Jesus today. They figure they know how to do life, to live better than Jesus, and they laugh at his instructions in our world. They laugh at people who would trust him. If Jesus experienced this, you probably will too. Sometimes Jesus says some pretty outrageous things. This child is not dead. She's only asleep. It's outrageous at a funeral. But sometimes Jesus says a lot of outrageous things. Love your enemy. Be holy as God is holy. Don't be afraid, just believe is pretty outrageous in the face of fear. Don't judge, and you'll be judged by the measure you're judged. Give, and it will be given to you. He says some outrageous things, and people laugh. All the way through Mark, Mark has been showing us what the kingdom of God is like. And he continues to show us what the kingdom of God is like in this story. The kingdom of God has a different value system than the world, and the value in the kingdom of God are often laughed at, but do not be alarmed, because when Jesus walks into the situation, God's got this. Don't know if you've ever been at a funeral of a child, but laughter is inappropriate at best. But here are these people laughing at Jesus. But just because he's being laughed at, Jesus doesn't cower. He dismisses all the people. Verse 40. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went to where the child was. Jesus puts out the professional wailers and the flute players and the mockers. He says, you can go away. Now just there are six of them, Jairus and his wife, Peter, James, and John, and the most important person in the room, Jesus. And there, they're with the body of the 12-year-old girl. Verse 41 says this, and so he took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha cum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. I love that Jesus is thwarting the power of death, healing the sickness that got this little girl to the place where she's at, and he does it by talking to the little girl in a kind way. Little girl, I say to you, get up, or, as one translation puts it, little girl, it's time to get up. In saying that, the power of death and sickness was broken. The little girl was restored. It was done because, well, Jesus spoke life into the little girl. A lot has been made by the fact that Mark keeps the Aramaic words in reading this, in retelling the story. Well, Jesus and his disciples would have understood Greek, which was the business language of the day. Their mother tongue would have been Aramaic, which is Talitha cum, and they probably would have conversed daily in Aramaic. So why does Mark just leave these words untranslated? I think it's because it made an impression on Peter, James, and John. You hear the love and compassion, the normality of Jesus saying to the little girl, taking her by the hand, little girl, it's time to wake up. Verse 42. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. And they were completely astonished. People in the room were astonished. The people outside the room would be astonished. Mark has showed us that Jesus is Lord over the demonic and sickness and Sabbath and the storm and sin. And now finally he's showing us that he's Lord over death. Jesus would demonstrate this in dramatic fashion when he rose from the dead this Easter on Easter Sunday. But if the disciples had ears to hear and eyes to see, they would have known that death is not the most powerful force in the universe. They would have seen that death does not have the ultimate say. Death must be obedient to the words of Jesus. because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. This is one of three times when Jesus raises somebody from the dead in his ministry on earth. There's this little girl, there's a widow's son, and there's Lazarus. He's saying, I'm Lord over death. I'm Lord over all. Verse 43. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. There was no hiding this miracle, but Jesus instructs them not to let anybody know about this. I think he wanted to get away from the mocking crowd before they found out, because this little girl is going to be walking around. But then he gives practical instruction, give her something to eat. So there was this thing in Jesus' time where they believed in ghosts, but they believed the ghost couldn't eat something. So he gives this instruction so that the little girl is nourished in body, but the parents are calmed in soul. They know she's not a ghost. Little girl, have something to eat. Sometimes God works in such a way where even after the work is done, it's hard to believe what happened. I can't believe they're astonished. They're amazed. It's unbelievable. And I know that word gets overused in our culture. But Jesus would say to them again, don't be afraid. Just believe. I don't know what you and I will face in the future. But I do know that Jesus is Lord over life and death. He is Lord of the future. We live in a world where the future is more uncertain than ever. You turn on the television and you hear bad news from around the world. You go and you see stuff going up in price and you wonder, am I going to be able to make it? And you see the rents going up and you see mortgages going up, and there's a way of that you see life around us, and for a lot of people, including many of us, the future feels more uncertain than ever. Take a look at your kids and your grandkids, and you wonder, well, what kind of world are they going to grow up into? The environment's uncertain. The economy's uncertain. And this great unmooring of, you know, the things we used to believe in, the structures in our society, they're cracking and failing. And so many people feel unmoored, don't know what to hold on to anymore. I don't know what to grasp hold of. I don't know how to anchor in the middle of this storm of fear of the future. I don't know how to hold on anymore. If that is you, please hear the words of Jesus. Don't be afraid. Just believe. You can trust him. You can trust him with your future. You can trust him with what comes with May. Doesn't mean that life will be easy, but he'll walk with you every step of the way. He's Lord over life. He is Lord over death. He is Lord of all. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for who you are. For people who need to hear this verse today, let it settle way down in their souls. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Lord, give them a great faith in you. Let faith arise so they can trust you for the difficult situations and the uncertainty and the hard things. Let faith arise in you in such a way where you are bigger than the problem. Let faith arise in such a way where they know that you've got this. Let faith arise, Lord, so that they can trust you when you say, don't be afraid, just believe. I ask this in the power of your name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.